From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. For a while, the internet looked like airfare booking nirvana. Quick online comparison shopping gave consumers options and leverage like never before. It still can, but it's getting tougher. Airlines want their data back, want you booking on their sites. And fares? With super low oil prices and super high airline profits, they've barely budged. This hour on Point, airfare and the facts of flying now. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Where are the deals? And how do you like booking air travel these days? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook. At On Point Radio, later this hour, we will check in on the TSA and airline security after 67 out of 70 weapons poured right through airport screening in an undercover test. But first, to flight. Joining me now from Chicago is reporter Jack Nickas. He covers the aviation industry for the Wall Street Journal. He's just back from the big International Air Transport Association meeting happening in Miami this week. Jack, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So they've got profits all over the place and projecting even bigger ones. Is it happy days are here again in the industry?
It is. This is really a new airline industry. We've had, in the U.S., years of consolidation and bankruptcies that have put airlines on firmer financial footing. And also, oil is quite cheap, and that is airlines' biggest expense. So they're doing quite well financially, better than they ever have. And that's ramping up this fight between online travel sites that you just mentioned.
Here's the IATA Director General Tony Tyler saying, woohoo, here we go, almost $30 billion in profits coming this year.
We're forecasting an improved profit this year, $29.3 billion for the industry as a whole. And yes, that's a figure that's higher than we've had before, but it still masks a lot of differences between different airlines in different regions. Some are doing very well. Some are still struggling.
Jack, can we look at the oil issue for just a minute here? They spend more on fuel than anything else, 40 million gallons a day. That's just American airlines. I'm looking here at numbers that say in the first quarter of this year, American, Delta, Southwest, United saved more than $3 billion just in 3 months. Are they passing those savings along to consumers in lower fares?
Not that we've seen. Competition is still fairly strong in the U.S. and abroad for flyers, so that's keeping airfares somewhat down. But they are not reducing airfares in response to lower fuel, and that's what investors don't want to see. And in fact, in a bit of a paradox here, investors actually are getting scared of this long-term cheap fuel because basically they're worried that airlines are now, feeling they can grow again and begin to expand and chase market share. And these are strategies that really hurt the industry for decades. So there actually has been a broad decline in airline stocks.
Just this week, and
for the past month or so. And basically, the airlines are saying, listen, we're trying to be disciplined. We're not growing that much. We're not reducing airfares. And actually, instead, they are returning billions of dollars to shareholders in buybacks and dividends, but still investors are so jittery about airlines because of the history of these companies destroying capital for years.
Not reducing airfares. I mean, looking at this from the consumer, the flyers angle, that's what really stands out here. And the airlines feeling, as you say, after consolidation, what we had 9 or 10 big airlines not so long ago, 4 really big ones now. Here's the CEO of American Airlines. This is Doug Parker on CNBC's Mad Money last month, boasting about how it's a real business now. It sounds like he's saying we can't be pushed around so easily on fares anymore.
The reality is now we have an industry that's a real business. And, I don't think there's any chance that the stock is going to be nearly as volatile as it's been in the past. I think it's a real currency, and I'm happy to be paid in it.
Even the CEOs happen to be paid in stock, though I don't know how happy he is this week. More moves this week, Jack, to crack down or make it harder or more expensive for flyers to book away from the airline's own sites, for them to go to those comparison shopping sites. Lufthansa taking the lead here.
Yes, so Lufthansa announced last week, and it really kind of became a big discussion point at this conference, that they will charge a 16-euro fee for any fare that is not booked through their own channel. So basically any fare that's booked on an online travel agency or via a travel agent. And this is you know, really opens up a new front in the battle between airlines and travel agencies and their distributors. There's long been tensions between these two groups, but things have really heated up over the past several months.
And now some of the airlines withholding their flight information. Delta doesn't even want it out there on a bunch of these sites.
Yeah, so Delta Airlines, Inc., also we've seen them, pull back some of their fares and their information from several online travel agencies, including big ones like TripAdvisor. And basically, their argument is, this is our data. We can decide who we have it with. And the online travel agencies are extremely upset over this and say this is, you know, basically declaring war on us here. This is our business, and we make it easier for consumers to compare prices. But airlines, you know, with improved financials and market share and newer technologies to connect directly with customers, they're becoming more bold in their fight against these distributors.
War on us. Yeah, you can talk about the price comparison sites. You can also talk about the travelers. The airlines now want to make the limits on online bags, they want to make them even smaller, 40% smaller, I'm reading here. Is that right?
Well, that's a bit of a complex topic. The IATA, this international trade group, mm-hmm. proposed a uniform size of a carry-on bag because there's been issues now that airlines are charging for checked bags. Travelers continue to bring on bigger and bigger bags to put them in the overhead bins, and that is slowing the time. You know, it's delaying flights as people can't fit them above. So IATA is trying to set a standard size bag, and it's quite smaller than what many travelers are trying to bring aboard the aircraft today.
The equivalent, I'm reading here, of 4 soccer balls worth less volume. That sounds like another way to get into your pocketbook. You're going to feel like you've got to check it because who can travel with just a tiny bag?
Certainly. I mean, this is just part of a long-term trend, as you mentioned, that these companies are getting better at running these airlines like a business. And we got to remember, these are companies. They are not a public utility. They are beholden to their shareholders in many ways, and they're trying to expand their margins, and they're not shy about that. And that's why, despite the past several months, there has been an enormous increase in their stock prices.
Not shy. I think we all know that, and yet everybody's got an interest in this. It can make air travel really uncomfortable to book and to do if you're not careful. Jack Nickas with The Wall Street Journal in Chicago, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
Let me turn to Los Angeles and George Hobica, syndicated travel columnist, founder of AirfareWatchdog.com. You can read his tips for booking airfare at our website, onpointradio.org. George Hobica in L.A., thanks for being with us.
Yes. Hi, Tom.
So I'm reading here in the New York Times about how it's just gotten tougher and tougher to do this, to book and book good deals, good fares, easily online. Time saying in the last couple of days, for consumers, it means the hunt for the lowest fare has become more difficult as the number of places where they can shop, comparison shop, has dropped. In many cases, they just give up. I know that feeling. What's happening, George?
Well, as Jack mentioned, the airlines are trying to increase their revenue by forcing direct bookings. And Southwest has been doing this for years. I mean, Southwest hasn't had their fares on a third-party website for about 15 years. And the same thing with the tiny airline called Allegiant. And we've also seen airlines provide incentives to book on their own websites. I don't know if anyone remembers the 500-mile bonuses that they used to hand out. There are promo codes. So what the airlines are trying to do is reduce their just distribution costs and also to provide a stick, an $18 fee if you don't book directly with them. And the fear is that more airlines will start doing this. They'll follow the Lufthansa Group model. It's not just Lufthansa. It's Swiss, Brussels, and also Austrian Airlines, which Lufthansa owns.
I mean, it also means that you can't just assume that when you go to these comparison sites, you get to see everything. I'm reading here, this is Fiona Scott Morton. She's an economics professor at Yale, does all kinds of study on the travel industry. She says consumers are going to the price comparison sites and thinking they're comparing prices, but they are not. And to your point, George, she says, that the airlines say that the motivation is they want low-cost distribution. But she says that really it is that they want to restrict the ability of consumers to do price comparisons, plain and simple.
Yes, Southwest is very blatant about this. They really don't want to be compared. In fact, at one point, Orbitz tried to put Southwest's fares on their website, and they got a very rapid cease and desist, even though Orbitz was sending the traffic for free. And a lot of these sites don't send traffic for free. They have to make some money somehow, and that's part of the problem. The airlines don't want to pay commissions. They don't want to pay global distribution system fees. But Southwest said, we don't even want to be compared. Now, interestingly, Airfare Watchdog uses people to actually research Southwest fares. So you can find them on our website. Early on, we did get some communication from Southwest saying, don't do this, but we don't scrape their fares. We actually use people to search once a day. And if they have the lowest fare, we'll put their low fare on our website. But Southwest does not want to be compared, and I can understand why.
Well, it's not just Southwest and Allegiant anymore. You've got Delta looking to move into this territory. Lufthansa now saying it will charge if you don't book on their site. I mean, already I've got friends talking about opening 10 tabs, you know, to figure out the best fare. Maybe that's no big deal for some people. For others, that's a big deal or a big hassle. And how do you know when you've actually made the full comparison to know whether you've got the best deal, George?
Well, Tom, you can still go to Kayak, for example. Kayak.com has everyone except Southwest. What you want to do is give them your email address. You have to register your email address and then use their 30-day, very robust 30-day flexible date search. And you will see everything except Allegiant, which is a growing discount airline, and Southwest. And another option is Google Flights. You go to google.com/flights,
yep. Yep.
And then google.com/flights explore, which is a different area on Google. They have everyone except Southwest.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about airfares and the facts of flying now. The internet was supposed to make it cheap and easy. Things may be going the other way. George Hobica is with us from Los Angeles, syndicated travel columnist, founder of airfarewatchdog.com. You may use it. They point out some good deals. It's supposed to be easy. Here's a 2014 commercial for Kayak, the travel search engine. A man gets frustrated looking for flight deals.
You can search for flight deals until you get really frustrated. Or use Kayak to search hundreds of travel sites to find the best deal in seconds.
Boom. If it were just that easy, sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. We want to dig into how it's working these days further here. With us from Long Beach, California, Brett Snyder, founder, author of the airline industry blog CrankyFlyer.com, president and founder of Cranky Concierge. It's a travel air assistance service. He's worked in the travel industry since 1989. Brett Snyder, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Happy to be here.
So, you know, some people are just whizzing through this and finding what they need. And a lot of others, I'm hearing more and more stories lately, people throwing up their hands and saying, this is a giant pain online, and I'm not even sure I'm being well served. Sometimes I feel like I'm being played, what I'm being shown, what I'm being offered. What's the field out there for a consumer who's just looking for a flight or a couple flights, single shot, round trip, multi-city? How's the service, Brett?
You know, it's kind of funny that we have this discussion about the airline industry, because you think about other kinds of products that are out there, you never have perfect and complete information about every option that's out there. You might go to Amazon or Google Shopping or something, but you never get 100% of everything. Yet with the airlines, people seem to want to expect that you can go to one place and find everything, you know, with perfect information.
Well, that was kind of the promise of the internet, wasn't it? That this is one of the transformative promises of the web, and it came very early to air travel, and it was sort of the expectation that was pretty firmly built.
It did come early to air travel, that's for sure. Air travel, that was one of the first e-commerce sites that were out there were air travel related. But, you know, if you think about how it works today versus how it worked before the internet, it is still much more transparent than it used to be. You know, before the internet, you either called an airline directly or more likely than not, you went through a traditional travel agent and they were able to give you the options over the phone. But, you know, as soon as these online travel agents began 20 years ago, we started having the ability to compare online and see what everyone's seeing out there. As George noted, you know, Southwest doesn't play this game. You always have to go look at Southwest separately. Other low-cost carriers like Allegiant is not on every site. Even Delta. Delta's still participating in the bigger comparison shopping sites. They're pulling out of some of the smaller, more strategic ones where they don't think they're going to lose as much. It's not necessarily good for consumers that they can't find them on every site, but it's not like they've pulled out completely to the extent that Southwest has.
Our listeners responding here on Twitter. Kaylee is responding, you know, we said the internet was supposed to make shopping for cheap airfare easier. It didn't. She responds, no kidding. Ari says, between the idiotic TSA, we'll talk about that in a minute, Coach Comfort, getting to the airport 2 hours early, airfares and fees, I need to be going somewhere special to consider flying these days. Let me bring our listeners in. James in Jericho, Vermont. James, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. I'm just wanting to speak as a consumer.
Yeah.
I just came out here to Jericho, Vermont about 3 weeks ago and caught the tail end of the internet before they started doing this. And even then, I was using Tor internet browsers so they wouldn't read my cookies and try to give me or quote me a different price. And because the gas was so low, as you said, it was actually just better for me for all the stops I wanted to make to see my family to drive. So, you know, I'm definitely taking advantage of that. Although when I got out here to Jericho, I had to go see family in Chicago. So I had to go and catch a flight for that. And, you know, flying, I used to be a travel agent too, so I know that's going to definitely hurt the industry for people that do that, and especially if other things follow suit, like, let's say, cruises and other people like that, they just want to restrict their data. You know, even in the jingles and the commercials, you think you could just one-stop shop everything and try to make that happen, and it doesn't happen. You end up spending hours.
James, let us pick it up. Brett Snyder, what about this? As we shop and picking up cookies, here our caller James is going to kind of conceal his internet identity with Tor to keep from having cookies dropped everywhere. How much do the fares that were individually shown vary given what the airlines or the intermediaries know about us?
This is definitely something that concerns a lot of people, but really it's not something that we actually see happening in practice for the most part. If you think about how the airlines are going to approach this, if they do start showing people higher fares if they provide their information, then they're going to be in real trouble because then nobody's going to provide their information to them. And we've seen a couple of things flare up. There was one with Delta maybe a couple of years ago where someone was a super elite traveler, logged in, found a higher price than someone who didn't have any status with the airline at all. This became national news very quickly, and Delta got a bit of a black eye. They quickly backed off, said, oh, it was a glitch. We were testing a new shopping engine and, you know, whatever the excuse may be. But I think that they'll find that there are a lot of people who are savvy out there. So if the airlines do try to punish people for providing information, they're going to be in real trouble. They're going to be hit in the media nationwide, and it's not a practice that's going to be sustainable for the airline.
And yet it looks like, I mean, you don't have to provide the information for them to take your cookie if you're not on a cookie-free browser like Tor. They just grab it. We had a study out last month from the Travel Technology Association, industry group for travel sites, saying that restricting what seat price and schedule information was shared with third-party sites could cost passengers more than $6 billion a year. And our caller, James, worried that he's getting played just from what they see from cookies. Do you see that, George Hubica? Is that happening?
Well, I don't think that's ever been proven, that the clearing cookies makes a different result. But James brings up another interesting point. What if hotels start adding a fee, a $20 fee, if you don't book directly with their websites? We've already seen them offer incentives such as $50 resort credits or an extra free day, extra free night. What if other travel vendors start doing this? I really fear for the online travel agency industry.
Here we've got all kinds of response, people trying to figure out how to do it and do it well and why fares don't come down. When oil prices have come down so dramatically, George, why haven't fares come down? I mean, they're down by maybe a couple of bucks, I'm reading here, when they're making record profits, almost $30 billion this year.
Actually, Tom, they do come down. Over the weekend, American, United, Swiss Air, Air France had a massive sale for peak summer travel to Europe. They didn't tell you about it. It was $700, 734 round trip from almost every major United States city to about 14 destinations in Europe. And that started on Friday and it disappeared on Sunday morning, Eastern time. And then on Monday morning, I received an email from Air France touting their new summer fares that were $1,500. So ignore all those emails that the airlines send you touting their so-called sales. The real sales, they never tell you about. And the best way to find out about them is usually by airfare alerts. Many companies offer these. You just Google the term airfare alert, sign up. And also on Twitter, Airfare Watchdog provides these as I like to call it imitator, called the flight deal, at the flight deal. Steal this trip, at steal this trip on Twitter. They're all taking this information and getting it out to consumers before it's too late. You can fly from Chicago to about 25 cities thanks to Spirit and Frontier, two ultra-discount airlines, for about $137 round trip. You can go to Orlando. You can go to New Orleans. You can go to Boston.
But here's the thing, George. If I go to the air booking sites and I haven't – and I'm not savvy plugged into an alert and I just ask for the fare to – you know, here to there, are they going to show me this sale is on or just sell me the higher price ticket?
No, they will show it to you, but you have to know it's there. That's the point. No one's going to tell you, the airlines aren't going to tell you that they suddenly reduced their fares to Europe by $1,200, $1,300.
So if you say the problem is that they don't tell you about it, if you don't know about it, you don't have it. Boom.
You will find it if you are lucky enough to search. If you are lucky enough to search on Saturday, mm-hmm. and by the way, one of the biggest myths in the entire airline industry, airfare industry, is that Tuesday at whatever time is the best time to buy an airfare. There's absolutely no best time. A sale could happen on Friday or Saturday or Sunday. A lot of people don't even search on weekends, and I think if I ran an airline, that's when I would have my sales if I wanted to get rid of a few seats because I know people aren't searching.
Let's go to Paul in New Orleans. Paul, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. I just yesterday booked a flight from New Orleans to Green Bay, and of course I spent 45 minutes looking at all these crazy sites. And just for information, I figured, well, let me call United Direct and see what they want.
Yeah.
I got prices from $539 to $579 on all the websites, $539 being the lowest. When I called United, it was $540. So I could have spent a dollar early on, called United, and not wasted my 45 minutes searching all these sites. The sites used to save me 20, 30, 40%, and now they seem to have cut them off, so they're not saving me hardly anything. A dollar? I mean, it's really not worth my time.
Paul, it sounds like you've got just the message that they want you to hear. Just call them direct and or else spend an hour looking and save $1. I mean, Brett, is that where we're headed?
Well, the airlines, when they first started going online, they loved it because it was a lower cost distribution channel for them. It was a lot cheaper than going through these third parties. So they used to offer these discounts to go online and do all this kind of thing. That doesn't exist anymore. For the big U.S. carriers, at least, they actually have agreements with these third parties saying, nope, they provide all their fares through the third parties the same as they provide on their own website. And so you're not going to find a deal for the most part when you go online to a third party versus the United website versus calling United. Although if you call United, they'll charge you a fee to book over the phone on top of the fare. But that's kind of the idea that the internet is a discount channel. The airlines have really tried to get away from that as being the case. But I do want to say something quickly about your previous comment about airfares not going down.
Mm-hmm.
And really it's because airlines don't price based on the cost inputs that are involved. They price its economics, its supply and demand, and demand is fairly strong right now, and the airlines have done a good job of keeping supply in check so that there's enough demand for the seats where, you know, they're going to price it so that they can still make good money.
I mean, Brett, isn't that part of the point? The first thing we heard in this hour was all about consolidation. Instead of 9 or 10 big carriers, we've got 4 big carriers. I mean, maybe that's where things have consolidated too much now. The airlines have so much power, they can put fees all over the place, they can shrink seats down, it seems like they can abuse passengers in almost any way they please, and even move away from comparison shopping, and why not? They've got the market power.
Well, I don't think airlines have gotten to that point yet. I mean, certainly they're not making outsized profits. They're starting to make even
biggest in
more
history,
normal
$30 billion this year.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at their profit margins, they're certainly nothing amazing. It's a lot of money that's coming in, but that's because the revenue is huge as well. But you know, from an airline perspective, they've changed the way that they do their business over the last decade, and they've created what they hope is a sustainable structure that actually makes them profitable, because people remember the days of $99 across the U.S. each way. But, you know, fuel, even though it's down from where it was, it's still more than double where it used to be 10 years ago or 15 years ago. You know, on top of that, the airlines used to lose a lot of money, and so they've had to try and change the way they do their business.
I get that, and I think not everybody expects $99 across the country every time, but just the experience of interacting with the airlines strikes me as worse and worse. Charlie in Atlanta, Georgia. Charlie, you're on the air.
Well, Tom, I that's exactly my point, is that the airline industry is the only industry I can think of where customer abuse is marketed as customer service.
And how what do you mean, Charlie? What are you thinking of?
Well, it's very, first of all, it's extremely frustrating for me to book a flight online. I have had terrible, terrible problems. I had a situation with cheap tickets one time that was insane. I would never go to cheap tickets again. And the other thing is that the constant little fees that are charged for everything.
You're over a barrel all the time.
All the time. And I really, the seats, I've been in airplanes where you can barely sit down, and I'm not a big person.
So is it because, why? What do you track this back to, Charlie?
I don't know what the cause is other than the desire for rapacious profit. And I really, maybe it's because I'm an old guy, but I really, bring back the travel agents, please. You know, it was in the old days, I could call up Jeanette and I could say, Jeanette, I need to go from here to there. And she'd call me back in a couple hours and she'd say, okay, here are your options. Which one do you like?
But you know, when you do that these days, a lot of them are going to charge you cash on the barrelhead. I looked at that recently, Charlie, and it was $60 per flight for travel agents' intervention.
Yeah, well, it's now we're in a situation where they get you coming and going, literally. I mean, you can't, if you want to sit in an exit row, you know, the poor man's first class, this costs extra. You want to carry, listen, you want to, I'm a guitar player.
Yeah.
You know what Spirit Airlines charges to carry a guitar on the plane? $80.
$80?
$80 to put a guitar in the overhead compartment.
Well, just wait until they shrink the overhead bag size. It'll be $180. Good luck flying, Charlie. Brett, what about travel agents as an alternative? Do you see people turning that far away from the web in numbers?
Yeah, you do see it. And that's actually what our air travel assistance business does. We provide more than that. We help people when things go wrong and kind of act as a concierge along the way. But people come to us and specifically are willing to pay. It used to be that you didn't pay a travel agent because the airlines paid them.
Right.
They used to get a commission. And that is, for the most part, gone. I mean, there are still commissions to be had by larger agencies and things like that. But it has changed to the point where now it's, if you want the services of a travel agent, then you have to pay for it. But they can just make it easier for you. In particular, you know, if you're just doing a quick trip from Boston to New York, there aren't a ton of options in that universe. You're not going to have that much trouble finding something. But if you're looking to do a trip abroad, something more complex with multiple stops, then that's something that, you know, it might be worth it for some people to pay that fee, because then they just don't have to worry about it. They can have someone doing the work for them.
Hi, everybody. Tom here. I'm glad you're joining us for this On Point podcast. Before we get back to the show, I'd like to tell you about another podcast you might enjoy, too, Dear Sugar Radio. Join hosts Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond as they field questions about love, sex, work, guilt, money, you name it. That's Dear Sugar Radio. You can find it at wbur.org/Dear Sugar or subscribe on iTunes. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about airfares and the facts of flying now. The internet was supposed to make it cheap and easy. Things may be going the other way. Airlines looking to take their data back, their flight information back. Charge Lufthansa now. If you book on one of the comparison shopping sites, there's an extra surcharge for that. And there's more. Big profits, but it's going to get a little tougher in the cabin, at least if you want to put your bag in there. Maybe they're going to shrink the size of the carry-on. We've got two guests who know all about this world. George Hobica with AirfareWatchdog.com. Brett Snyder with Cranky Concierge and CrankyFlyer.com. Both with us today from California. We're going to go in just a few minutes to look at the TSA and what's going on there after the undercover investigation that found 67 out of 70 weapons, explosives, you name it, floating right through that airport screening. All kinds of responses here. Nicole says, hey, airlines are within their right to create the model needed for profit. I agree with the caller. It's not a public utility. Fair enough, Nicole, on Twitter. But I shouldn't feel abused when I'm flying or trying to book. Rama in Newburyport, Massachusetts. Rama, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks, Tom, for taking my call.
Yes, what do you think?
I just want to echo a previous caller or callers. Two words, travel agent. Okay, and also I want to just mention the acronym KISS. Keep it simple, Simon, okay? And I love you, Tom, but you often extol the virtues of all this information age. You were talking about lawyers and lawyers online and all this a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I think we really, and there is a lot of movement afoot coming back to the simpler life. If I'm going to fly, and I haven't flown in many years, I'm going to call a travel agent if I can find one, or I'm going to call Delta, and I'm going to get the best fare I can get, and I'm going to just simplify my life. And it going online and computers is a major waste of time. Ask anyone who's done online dating.
Now, that opens up a whole can of worms. Rama, I want to take a moment to, yes, we talk a lot about the information age because it's all around us. But, you know, sometimes I'm right there with you. Sometimes I feel that it is net-net making things more complicated, less trustworthy. I wonder about the algorithms at work here and who's got what information on me and the flights. And sometimes it just feels like a giant web of frustration out there. Dating sites, I don't know, hours to book. Hey, surely not all the time by any means, but I'm sympathetic. But if you go to a travel agent, George Hobica, that's going to cost you too.
It is. But however, let's hear it for travel agents. A couple of things. One is that a good travel agent, if you can find one, is going to tell you, for example, you want to go to Hawaii from Dallas. It's $1,200. From Houston to Dallas, there's a sale going on, and a good travel agent saw it. It's $300. A good travel agent will say, you know, we're going to fly you on Southwest from Houston to Dallas, and it will give you plenty of time to connect in case you miss your flight, and we're going to save you hundreds of dollars. And this is just one example of how travel agents, if you can find a smart one, can really help. And the interesting, ironic thing about what Lufthansa is doing and what Delta is doing with their fare ploys is, you know, for years, they put these travel agents out of business by taking away commissions, and now they may be forcing people into the arms of travel agents, if you can find a good one, once again. And actually, speaking of good travel agents, only the good ones really survived.
Hey, listen, I'm all for the good ones. They can make magic happen. Brett, there's some things I wonder, though. Do travel agents have access to all the information? And can you book a seat with the same freedom through a travel agent that you can without, or online, or at the airline's website? Because these days, if you don't have a seat number at hand, you may be standing on the tarmac.
Sure. So it really actually depends on the airline that you're dealing with, and it also depends on if your travel agent is very proactive or more lazy. So let me explain that a little better. There are the big airlines, as I mentioned, in the U.S., they have this agreement with the third parties where they provide the same information to travel agents, online sites, everything, as they do directly.
Okay.
But not everyone has that, and so Lufthansa is a good example of that. They recently announced this new fee they're going to put on top of bookings that aren't made directly, and that's because they no longer have this agreement with the third-party distributors saying, you know, we're always going to have the same fare everywhere. And so, you know, some travel agents may still go through their systems and book it with that extra fee on it. And, you know, we'll see how this plays out. It doesn't go into effect until September on Lufthansa.
Yeah.
But they'll, you know, they might just pass that along, and that'll be part of the higher price ticket. Other travel agents may look and say, well, we can still get this for you. We have to book it directly using a different tool than we usually use. And, you know, same thing if you want to book Allegiant, for example. You know, it's not going to show up in a travel agent system, but a good travel agent is going to go and go directly to Allegiant and say, look, this is the best option for you, regardless of which system it can be booked in. But if every single airline in the world starts pricing it differently for a travel agent versus their own websites versus wherever else you might look, then it's overwhelming to the point where, you know, even a good travel agent is not going to catch everything.
Let me go to Eric in Madison, Wisconsin. Eric, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks. I just had a couple of comments. I used to always, do some price comparisons on some of the other third-party websites, Orbitz, Travelocity,
sure.
and whatnot. But then I would see the pricing, but then I would actually call directly to the airline and book my flight that way, because I had more confidence in the airline than I did necessarily in the website. And second comment is that with some of these online, Travelocity, Orbitz, and whatever, I remember being at a hotel in San Francisco and checking in, and I had, again, got my pricing from the websites, the different websites,
yeah.
But called the hotel directly and booked my reservation through the hotel directly, and the couple in front of me actually was bumped out of their reservation because they had gone through one of these third-party websites as opposed to going directly to the hotel itself.
Hey, Eric, let us pick it up. I mean, fair enough, it may be true, but George Hobica, if over time the airlines succeed in pushing people away from the price comparison sites and back to their own sites, isn't that a major step toward reducing competitive pressure here?
It is a major step, Tom, and it's a bad thing. I really hope that it won't happen. I hope that hotels won't match this ploy. It's going to be a disaster for online travel agencies. And, you know, let's hear it for travel agents and online travel agents in general. Something we haven't mentioned yet is the package. A lot of times, these OTAs and a good travel agent will package a deal for you, and the airlines won't necessarily do this. Some do. Give you an example. Not too long ago, British Airways had a fare from San Francisco to Dublin in October. It was about $1,300 round trip, including tax, which is typical. They had a package deal, believe it or not. British Airways is on British Airways, but it was also a travel agent could have given it to you. $700, including three nights hotel in Dublin. It wasn't a great hotel, but it was a hotel. So you got the hotel, plus you saved about $800. So travel agents often will steer you to a good package. They'll do an all-inclusive deal, you know, maybe at a resort somewhere. So it's not just the airfare that we should consider.
I just can't get to all the calls here. We've got pilots calling in and saying they're glad that the days of super cheap fares are gone, that it makes things better, makes them more solid airlines. But I can't help wondering, Brett, if we've seen too much consolidation now. Yes, it's the market, but the market is set by consolidation. Do we get into an antitrust moment here where there's just too few airlines and the booking paths are not smooth and open enough to really facilitate downward pressure on fares?
Well, I mean, the government reviewed every merger carefully and eventually came to the conclusion that, you know, it was something that was acceptable after whatever concessions they made them give up. We still do have strong competition here. I mean, within the U.S., there are many airlines that are flying. Of course, you have the big four. You have American, Delta, United, and Southwest. But you have JetBlue, you have Virgin America, you have Alaska, Allegiant, Frontier, Spirit. So there is still a lot of competition out there. But, you know, one thing that I think is important here is when you talk about online travel agents in comparison, this has really been about the price. It's price and schedule. And so the airlines have actually said, look, we're all differentiating our products here to some extent. You know, if you're buying a ticket on Spirit with very little legroom, you're going to have to pay for a carry-on bag, you're going to have to pay for water, versus, you know, JetBlue, where you have a lot of legroom, free TV, free Wi-Fi, all this kind of stuff. The airlines are saying, look, we don't just want to be compared on price anymore. We want to be compared on what we're offering and, you know, an apples-to-apples comparison so that people know, hey, if I have to bring a carry-on bag, do this. And the online travel agents that are out there, a lot of them have been reluctant to really introduce this product aspect to their service search. And so that is something that the airlines have really been pushing on and trying to use their weight.
Well, we're looking for the upside here. Some trips, some bookings, it's hard to find. Maybe there's a little hope right there. Brett Snyder with crankyflyer.com. Thank you very much for being with us today, Brett.
Thank you.
And George Hovica with airfarewatchdog.com. Happy booking, George. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. This was fun.
In a moment, trouble at the TSA. This is On Point. America has spent billions of dollars on the TSA and airport security screening, but a bombshell investigation reported last week found major failures. Details are still coming out. The head of the TSA is out. Joining me now from Washington is Bart Janssen. He covers transportation and the TSA for USA Today. He covered yesterday's Senate hearing on TSA oversight. Bart Janssen, welcome back to On Point.
Thanks for having me.
This turned a lot of heads last week. 67 out of 70 prohibited items, weapons and explosives and others, sailed right through, apparently, the Transportation Security Administration airport checkpoints. Was that from somewhere deep in history? Was that recent enough to make people wonder and worry about how it's all working right now?
Well, it's recent. We don't know the precise timing on it because the Inspector General's report that outlined these problems, it has not been released publicly. But this happened in the recent past, and despite a lack of formal acknowledgement about it, the heads of TSA and the head of the Department of Homeland Security are taking steps to try to fix the problems.
It didn't look good. John Pistol left his post as head of the TSA in 2014, but he weighed in on the failure to catch all those fake weapons and screenings. This was CNN last week.
This is very disconcerting, completely unacceptable to have a high rate of failures like that.
But Bart, what was the explanation for most of this stuff getting through? I mean, we've all been there, standing there with our shoes off and our belts off and, you know, everything off and in the bins and going through. How did all this stuff get through?
Yeah, the general explanation is that because the job is so boring that a complacency sets in, and maybe you don't look as closely at every passenger going through as you might. In addition, what Mr. Pistol pointed out was that the people that were doing these tests knew what the rules were, knew what TSA is looking for at the checkpoints, and sort of knew the best places to hide the weapons to avoid it. Now, you know, the concern would be that terrorists might also get an idea about where to hide the weapons on your body, but they were saying that these are the experts to try to get around being detected.
We had the White House spokesman Josh Earnest saying on Tuesday this week that passenger screening that we all know there, quoting him, is only one level of security that's in place in airports across the country. Our efforts to develop multi-layer security approach means that we have effective measures in place to counter threats to our aviation system, giving the impression that there's lots of other layers here. Are there?
Yes, there are many layers that you go through. They run when you buy the ticket. They check your name against terrorist watch lists. They, as you arrive at the airport, some officers might be taking a look at you to see whether you're behaving suspiciously. Then, when you go through the metal detector, that's to try to detect guns or other metal weapons. Then, if you go through the full body screening, that is to detect the non-metallic explosives.
Yeah.
And so they say there are many levels. They say there are something like 24 levels of security, but there are definitely many steps that you go through. Not all of them are visible.
Some of those seem kind of subtle to me. This wasn't so subtle. This was interesting. This is Becky Roaring. You were at the Senate hearing yesterday. She was there, too. This is an assistant federal security director at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport and talked about who becomes TSA agents. Some of them had worked there and then gone off to fight for ISIS.
Some of these CITA-badged employees who worked at the MSP airport later traveled to Syria to fight for ISIS.
That's a head-turner, Bart. What's going on there with screening of employees?
Well, there was an Inspector General's report released that found that basically, the TSA hasn't been allowed to check its aviation workers. These are workers for airports and airlines against all of the government's terrorist databases, so that the Inspector General found that 73 workers nationwide had some links to terrorism groups. Now, the details on what those links are, how substantiated they are, was not released, but it raised concerns, and TSA has been working for more than a year now to try to get access to the full database, where they say they could be able to vet these aviation workers better.
What's the TSA response to the 67 out of 70 weapons getting through? What are they saying they're going to do?
The Secretary of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, has ordered TSA to revise its procedures, to boost its training, and to test the detection equipment. Basically, they want everybody to get on their toes a bit more.
And the senators yesterday quizzing TSA representatives, what was on their mind?
Well, the senators were disturbed by both of these recent reports. They're saying, you know, if you have only a 5% detection rate, that's a failure under any circumstances. They wonder what TSA is going to be doing to fix it. The TSA removed the acting administrator, Mel Carraway, who had been serving since Pistol left office at the end of the year. But we've been expecting a permanent replacement since that departure, and new nominee, Peter Neffinger, who is now a Vice Admiral of the Coast Guard, he is in the midst of confirmation hearings. He has a hearing today, and so we'll be getting a new chief of TSA, and he has called both of these reports a top priority that he's going to try to fix if he's confirmed.
Bart Jansen with USA Today covers transportation and the TSA. Joined us today from Washington. Bart, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, thanks for all your calls and comments this hour on air, online. Tomorrow, we're looking at America's prisons, Big Escape. We've seen that. A long time in solitary? We've seen that. Look at prison and prison reform in this hour tomorrow. Please join us. Thanks for being here today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.